Everybody, how are you doing? I'm excited to see all of our people who were affected a little bit by the storm yesterday. We were praying for you guys, so it's good to see you here, Vaesha and Linda. And if I missed anybody, charge it to my head, not my heart. But anyway, we're going to go ahead and get started this morning. We've got a great lesson planned for you, so we're going to just pray and get right into it. Father God, we love and honor you and thank you so much for this day. This is the day that you have made. We purpose in our hearts to rejoice and to be glad in it. We thank you for the opportunity to serve you in full-time ministry, to use our gifts and our talents to further your cause. We thank you for this leadership meeting. We thank you that our ears are open, our eyes are open. We hear and receive revelation to make us better. Thank you for our pastor who will be sharing with us today. And I just thank you for an effective and productive meeting. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning. Well, it's good to see you all. Are you all ready? Oh, praise the Lord. I missed that. We want to welcome, we got two pastors with us today. Let me make sure that I get that right. Pastor Kendall and Kathy Page from Hinesville, Georgia, Emmanuel Christian Center. They were with us Sunday. Give them a good hand. They came in and took the tour and saw everything, and they're getting ready to build a building. And so we stand in agreement with them that they're going to have everything that they need, all the resources and stuff. And so they wanted to come on in our leadership thing, and so we thought that was all right. And I guess from time to time we'll have pastors just kind of drop in on us. And that's good. And so just kind of act like they're not here. Because I'm going to act like they're not here, okay? So you act like they are not here. We're going to have we did this on purpose. You know, we decided that we would open it up. You know, some of y'all like to hide back in the back. You know, you feel a little safe back there in the back behind somebody. So we thought it would be good to just kind of open it up because we're trying to do several things in this, not just give you information, but we want to help you grow. This is a teaching, developing, stretching time for us. 10-minute review. Close your books. Close your tablets. Close your tablets. I gave 7 expectations in our first meeting. 7 expectations. One of those expectations, number 5, was that we practice what we're learning. It's going to be very important for us to practice it. I mean, it's not just hearing it, but practicing it. And one of the things that I said that I wanted you to do, I said that I wanted you to connect with people. I wanted you to take the initiative, whether it be on Wednesday, Bible study, Sunday morning, or sometime move outside of your comfort zone, introduce yourself to somebody, welcome somebody. I want us to not just be here as a staff and then we're not connecting with the people. We can't lead people that we don't connect with. So let me ask you a question. How many of y'all took the initiative and at some time between last Tuesday and today did that? Let me see your hand. Thank you. How many of you did not? Okay. Why didn't you?
I wasn't here. I didn't.
Okay, you didn't get it. Okay. Who else did? Why didn't you?
I can't think of a moment when I did specifically, so I can't say that I did.
Okay. Okay.
Why I didn't.
Okay. Okay. My goal is not to embarrass y'all. I'm not trying to embarrass you. All of it is integrity. You know what I mean? I'm not going to run behind you trying to find out whether you did. But it's about you applying yourself. I mean, you got to apply yourself. You got to want this to happen. God want it to happen for you. But you can't lead people that you don't connect with. You can't come in here, have a title, and you just telling folk what to do. You got to connect with people. After every Bible study, every Sunday morning service, I stand up. Sometimes I stand up an hour and shake folk hands because I'm connecting with the people. I'm not just telling them what to do. I'm connecting with the people. And it makes a difference when it's easy for people to follow you when you connect with them. Another question. All this is integrity stuff. It's not, it's just you and you and God. You know what I mean? Another question, how many of you looked over the lesson that we taught last time? You went back and kind of glanced at it. Let me see your hand. Okay. How many of you didn't? Okay. Keep your hand up. Why didn't you?
I just overlooked it.
You just overlooked it. Why didn't you?
I just didn't.
Why didn't you? Why didn't you?
Just spent time doing other stuff.
Other stuff. Why didn't you do? Pardon me?
Just got the book today.
Oh, got the book today. Yes, sir. Overlooked it?
Didn't make the time.
Didn't make the time. Yes. Didn't think about it? Yes. Okay. Not less than an excuse. Because there's nothing you're doing that's more important than what I'm having you to do. See, if you're doing, and I'm not trying to embarrass you, I'm trying to put some pressure on you. I'm trying to put some pressure on you. So if you feel pressure, good, because I want to put pressure on you. There's nothing that you're doing that's more important. I'm the leader. I'm the CEO. I'm the pastor. There's nothing you're doing more important than what I'm trying to get you to do. So a big part of what we're doing is I want you to think. I want you to think, how many of you looked over, glanced over the lesson or what you thought may be the lesson this week? I mean, how many went to your thing and kind of let's see what he's going to be talking about next? Let me see your hand. How many of you didn't? Okay. Keep your hands up. Why didn't you?
Well, we listened to the computer.
Okay.
What
I'm going to teach today?
No, sir, what you did last
week. No, what I'm talking about today. Yes, why?
I spent most of my time reviewing.
Okay, yes.
It was the same.
Yes.
Same.
Okay.
Didn't think to do it.
Pardon me?
Didn't think to do it.
Yes.
Review.
Okay.
Didn't do it.
Okay.
Overlooked it.
Yes.
I called myself glancing through the whole book.
Yes.
Just reviewed.
Yes. Yes.
Didn't do it.
Didn't do it. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
For me, it has more impact when you introduce it and evolves to make them want to hate it.
Okay, yes.
I really wanted to spend the time studying what we had learned.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Didn't make the time.
Yes.
Just didn't do it.
Yes.
I was looking at the review.
Yes. 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 Yes.
I did a review too.
Yes. Okay. Another question. Here again, I'm not trying to embarrass you. I don't want you feeling comfortable coming in here not being prepared. So if it's making you feel uncomfortable, good. I want you to feel uncomfortable. I don't want you to feel comfortable coming in here and not be prepared. Leaders, let me question. How many would have looked over the lesson if I told you to do it? Okay, wave at me. That's everybody. Okay. You can't tell leaders everything. You can't tell leaders everything. I think leadership be prepared. I think we should be prepared. if we're going to lead people, I think we need to be prepared. If I'm taking the time to prepare the lessons, and I'm taking the time to share the lessons, and I'm incurring this expense to give you a folder, and we're putting it in there for you, then you can take the time to look over it. So I don't think that there's an excuse for not reviewing. I don't think there's an excuse for walking in here expecting me to just spoon feed you. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to challenge you. And so I don't want you ever feeling comfortable coming in here and you're not prepared. Because, see, my thinking is if this is the way you approach it, then that's the way you're going to be leading people. Got it? Got it? Did I make my point? Okay, good, good. Let's review. Let's review. Notebooks closed. Three components of a strategic planning. What are they? Yes. Give me one of them.
Diagnosis.
Nope. Establish an objective. What's the second one?
Strategy.
What's the third one?
Execution.
Okay. So there are three components of our strategic planning process. Objectives, strategy, execution. Objective, strategies, and execution. Objectives, strategies, and execution. Can anybody tell me what we began our last time? Pardon me? Nope. Three parts of a strategic planning: objectives, strategy, execution.
We looked at objectives.
It's a little uncomfortable, ain't it? These questions are a little uncomfortable, ain't it? you know why these questions are uncomfortable? You know why? Because you ain't ready. That's why the questions are uncomfortable, because you're not ready, because you came in here expecting me to just give you some information and you take a few notes and then you go home and don't look at the notes and then come back the next week and then I'm going to give you some more information. It's not going to be like that. I expect you to care about this. I expect you got to care about being a leader. It's got to mean something to you. Y'all want me to review and skip the questions?
Yes, sir.
How many? Let's vote. Let's vote. How many want me to skip the questions? How many don't care? How many want me to ask the questions? Okay, good. Okay, we talked about strategic objectives. There are four parts to it. You remember the first part? What was the first part? What do we have to do in terms of an objective? What's the first thing we have to do? Huh? But y'all all over the place. I mean, y'all really doing good. Y'all doing good all over the place. Yes.
Identify.
The first thing we have to do is we have to identify it, right?
Yes.
We have to identify the objectives. What's an objective?
That's what we want to do.
That's what we want to achieve. That's what we're focusing on, okay? So there are at least seven ways that we talked about our objectives. Give me one.
Prayer.
Prayer.
We have to look at the vision and the core values.
Vision, mission, core values. Give me another one. Yes.
Mandate from God.
Give me another one. It was seven. Yes, sir. Huh? Current resources? Nope. Pardon me? Directives, right? From those in authority. Okay. Seven, vision, mission, values. One, prayer. Two, a mandate from God. Three, four, directives from those in authority. Four, team collaboration. Five, team collaboration. Six, research analysis. And seven, SWOT analysis. What's the SWOT analysis? Strength, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats. Name a strength you have. No, your daughter. What's your name? A strength you have. Huh?
Fitness knowledge.
Name a strength you have, Eric.
Dealing with people.
Name a strength you have, Kathleen. Name a strength you have. What's your name?
Xantha.
What?
Xantha.
Spell it.
Z-A-N-T-H-A.
Z-A-N-T-H-A. Okay.
I'm insightful.
You're insightful. Name a strength you have.
Loving on people.
Loving on people. Name a strength you have.
Listen to people.
Okay. Somebody tell me what your weakness is. What do you need to improve? Pardon me? What was it? Huh?
Talking in this kind of setting.
And you know, I saw that on a lot of y'all things. You said that you were uncomfortable, and that's one of the reasons why we're doing this. Weakness, Abigail.
Being
what? Need to learn to be. What about you, Inger?
Procrastination.
And what's your weakness? No, give me a weakness. Give me a weakness.
Stand up in a crowd.
So is this helping you? Not really. Okay. It's put a little pressure on you, though, doesn't it? Okay, good, good, good. Strength, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats. That's what we dealt with. That's where we closed out at. And let me say something about the SWOT analysis that you turned in. And I don't want to sound like I'm on a thing today, so don't get that, but I am trying to help. Trust me. Come on, I want y'all to trust me. It's never my intent to embarrass you. It's never my intent to make you feel bad. I do want you to feel uncomfortable because I don't think that you can ever grow if you don't stretch. I don't think you can ever grow if you don't get outside your comfort zone. If you stay right where you're comfortable, you're never really going to grow. So a part of what I'm going to be doing, I'm going to really on purpose try to make you uncomfortable. I'm going to try to push you to a point. But my goal is not, a part of what I want you all to do is forget about folk too. Because, you know, a lot of times we're very concerned about what all the other folk think about us. Hopefully we can get to a point as leaders where we're concerned about what God thinks about us, that we want to obey God, that we love people, we have integrity, we operate in excellence, and not so much what they thought over here, what they thought over here. And I kind of want y'all to get beyond that, what the other people, what they thought about my answer and stuff like that. I want you to just get past all that stuff because that's not important. What's important is that you obey God. What's important is that you love people. What's important is that you operate in excellence. Everything you do, you want to do excellent. And what's important is that you have integrity of your heart. So when I ask you questions, it's an integrity issue. If you lie about it, you did not do it, you did not, yet you're concerned about what the people thought, and so you lifted your hand and said, it's an integrity issue. That's between you and God. That's how you operate. If you lie in this setting, you're not lying to me. You're lying to God, and that's the way you operate. You operate when you get pressure on you, you will lie. So if you have pressure in this setting and you will lie, you will lie there when you have pressure on you. So it's going to be helpful for you. So whenever you turn in something to me, I'm going to read it. I'm going to read it. I promise you, I'm going to read it. I'm not going to ask you to turn in something. So I read all of y'all. I read everybody's thing. Y'all want me to give you an evaluation on it? How would I like to have an evaluation on it? Okay.
We didn't know we were turning those in.
Let me show you. See what that says. Have him out.
I give you a pass.
Okay. Okay. I know y'all didn't know that you were going to turn them in. So I made a note to say I give you a pass. So what I'm getting ready to say, I've already given you a pass. Okay. The writing skills can be improved. It could. Some of it was not legible, not good handwriting. You can improve the way you write. Now, I know you didn't think you were going to pass it in, but you need to know what it is, too. You need to be able to read it. So it was bad. Some of it was bad. It was, you need to print if you can't write. You need to print. Some of it was too small. I had a hard time reading it. Incomplete sentences. Some of you turned it in, knew you were turning it in, didn't even put your whole name on it. Just put your first name on it. You know, just your first name. Like this me. Now see, you see, I don't have to tell you to put your name on this. You're not gonna be able to pass me anything. I'm serious. You just can't pass me anything. I mean, you just can't. See, you didn't know you were turning it in, but I did tell you to turn it in, right?
Yeah.
Okay, you knew that. And I was reading some of it, and I read it. Pete didn't read it, but I did struggle with somebody. I said, who is that? I couldn't read the name. I could not even read the name. She couldn't read the name. I couldn't read the name. That's bad. That's not good. You know. You need to sign your name where I can understand it, where other folk can understand it. Sometimes you may write a handwritten note to people to appreciate it, because that's really nice. Sometimes a boss to write you a little note, but they need to be able to read it. And so that was bad. That was real bad. So now you know. Come on, say, now I know.
Now I know.
You can't just pass past anything, because I'm going to read it. So you can't just pass me anything. It just don't work, okay? The SWOT primarily is for your benefit. I wanted you to see where you're strong at. Focus on that. I wanted you to see where you're weak at. And later on, you compare where you started off weak and have you improved, because you want to work on it on purpose where you feel that you have a weakness. I want all the managers to make sure that you're using these in your sessions so that it can get down to everybody. I want everybody to understand the SWOT analysis. Got it? Okay. Let's look at what we're going to be talking about today. Whew, praise the Lord. Y'all kept me there a long time. I'm behind my schedule, ain't I? I'm behind, right? But we'll catch up. We'll catch up. I have to what time?
9:45.
I have to not?
I've already made the adjustment, so you can go ahead.
Okay. Because we weren't going to take a break.
Yeah, we are. But I'll talk to you. I've made the adjustment. You have 15 minutes extra.
Okay. To do this part? Okay. It's not going to take us long. We're on page 6. When you find it, say, I got it. Okay. I want you to turn back whole page 6, and I want you to turn back to page 3, and I want you to look at it. Got it? Now, you see on page 3, there are 3 components of strategic planning: objective, strategy, execution, right? We're talking about strategic objectives first. And in our last lesson, last time out, we were talking about identifying the objective. That was the whole thing of identifying what we want to do, what we want to achieve. Now, there are 3 more components to it. You have to limit the number of objectives. You have to prioritize the objectives. And then you have to evaluate the objectives. Today, we're going to look at limiting, which will be pretty much self-explanatory, and prioritizing. Limiting and prioritizing. So turn now back to 6. Turn back to 6. If I say something and you don't understand what I'm saying, you can interrupt me. You can say, you can just throw your hand up and you can interrupt me. Once we identify the objectives, and we have 7 ways that we can do that, the next thing is we want to limit the number of strategic objectives. In my expectations, I said the 4th one, I want you to learn to think. Remember, I said that leaders know how subordinates think or followers think, but they don't think like followers. Remember me saying that? I also said that hindsight is 20/20. But leaders engage in what? Foresight. In other words, leaders don't wait to after the fact to think through it. Leaders think through it ahead of time. So this is kind of somewhat of a process of thinking through. I want to think through the process ahead of time. So once I identify, okay, this is where I want to go, or these are the places, we did the strength, the weakness, we did the SWOT analysis. So we come up with all these objectives, good things, but we have to limit. That's the next step in it. We have to limit the number of strategic objectives. And I got 2 guidelines and a comment. We have to be careful not to set too many objectives. That's pretty self-explanatory, isn't it? Can anybody just tell me why without just looking down, just in your own words? Why do you think it's important? Yes, sweetheart. I'm trying to get all these names down.
Andrea,
okay.
You'll forget most of them, so that means you have too many.
Okay, you'll forget, yes.
Deborah.
Okay. Anybody else want to add to that?
Lorenzo, if you got too many objectives, you may feel overwhelmed and you may not complete.
Okay. We dealt with forgetting. We dealt with focus. We dealt with feeling overwhelmed. Forgetting, too many of them, we'll just forget them. Too many, we won't focus. Spread out too much. Too many objectives, we'll be overwhelmed. Anybody want to add something to that? Yes.
You
Okay, you can do a lot of good things and then miss the intent for why you did it. Anybody else want to add anything to that? Yes, sir. That's a little bit connected to being overwhelmed. When you get overwhelmed with all these different things that you're trying to do, then you can very well become discouraged. Yes, sir. Speak out, James. Speak out.
You
just can't give it your best shot. Yes, sir. Confusion. I think all the answers you all gave were just outstanding. So I think we all pretty much understand. Be careful not to set too many objectives. If you do, you'll lose focus. Consider this. If you can't memorize your objectives, you probably have too many. Add those things that those persons said, because all that was great. All that was great. We end up not focusing, we end up overwhelmed, we end up discouraged, and we end up confusing folk. We just got too much stuff that we trying to do. We tried to do that, haven't we? Yeah, we tried to do that. So I put something here in number two. 3 to 5 objectives are the ideal number on which peak performers can concentrate according to most research. And I read that. I read that somewhere, that most peak performers concentrate on maybe somewhere between 3 and 5, and probably for those reasons. But listen at this. I wrote this down as a comment. This is the best way I knew how to phrase it. What common trait of peak performers that makes this statement true? Is there a common trait of peak performance that validate this statement or make this statement a true statement? Does that make sense to anybody? And I think the answer to it is to think, okay, what is common? What is a common trait of a peak performer? Yes. They execute well. What was the last part of that?
They accomplished
things. Okay, let's stop right there. Peak performers get things done. People who really excel in leadership. A peak performer, when you see somebody and you say, that is a peak performer, I think there's a common trait about them is they get things done. I mean, they just get things done. They get things done. So you can see now if that's the goal, to get some things done, you can't have too many things you're trying to accomplish. So I added something, my note to this, activity and results are not necessarily the same. Activity and results are not necessarily the same. It is possible to be very busy, but get little done. It's possible to be what? Very busy. So that's one of those rhetorical questions. And it's more than that. I'm going to ask you, how many of y'all busy? Let me see, y'all busy. The rest of y'all just kind of hanging. Okay. Well, the question is, how productive are you? You know, you can be busy and not be productive. And I think that it's going to be very important. I know it's going to be very important that we be productive and not just busy. So I think all of us are going to have to ask ourselves several questions, like, how are we making the organization better? How am I personally making the organization better? Am I making the organization better? Are the people under me better? Are they better off for following me? Are we going to another level, or are we just where we are? I mean, think about the area you're in, the area that you operate in, the area that you're over, the area that you work in. Is it stagnant? Is it going to somewhere else? Are we going somewhere else? Or are you just showing up and holding down the fort? I mean, you're just holding it down. You know, getting a paycheck, give you 8 hours. I'll give you my 8 hours. Get my paycheck. I'm out of here. Or are we going to another level? Are we striving to take it to another level? Or are we just busy? Yes, sir.
I was going to mention that the way you worded that, are we just holding it down? In some areas, that's actually the function. And it doesn't mean that it's a lackluster performance. It goes to an area of mature consistency of what you're doing.
So what area should we just hold it down in? No. You said, you said there's some areas we should just hold it down. So what areas?
Well, I'm saying that I'm sure the way, it depends on how people function in the area. I'm not saying that as to say, let me give you a list of those areas.
Okay.
I'm simply bringing to you attention.
That sounds so fluffy to me. What you're saying sounds like fluff.
No.
Doesn't sound like fluff to y'all. Doesn't that sound like fluff? Okay.
What I'm saying is that when you use that wording, unless people see beyond that, because of the nature of their function, there's a consistency in what they do that may from the outside appear to be that people just holding it down.
Gotcha.
When in actuality, the blessing is their consistency of what they do.
Well, let me add another statement or question to it. At the end of the year, when we're evaluating your performance, what's different?
Okay, that's a
better question. What's different about your area than the year before? See, what's different? I mean, what improvements have we made? I mean, in your area, how have you helped us go to another level? Whatever area you're in, why is it better because you spent a year at it? See, you spent a whole year doing this. So how are we better off? The whole emphasis on this question goes back to activity and results are not necessarily the same. We can be very busy maintaining. We can be very busy maintaining the status quo. And so we holding it down. So I'm trying to introduce something different. So the bottom line on it, I think we all understand that we have to limit the number of objectives, right? And if we have a bunch of them, we're not going to do them well. It would be better for us to do 2 or 3 or whatever, and we do it well, and that take us to another place than to just be doing a bunch of stuff, and we still in a status quo position. Does that make sense? Okay. Yes.
Can I kind of give an example?
Yeah, give an example.
Billy Graham's primary focus was salvation.
Yes.
More people than he had before by, I'm not going to say technology because I don't think he just other modes of getting that message out, he was able to do that, but it was still salvation at the end of the day. So he kept his focus on salvation, but he got better.
I think that's a good illustration. I think it was some technology, but I think that he was doing tent meetings. Okay, he was doing tent meetings. Well, you're going to reach a limited number of people doing tent meetings. But as time went on, he began to utilize television and radio, and now you're reaching more people. And that's the whole emphasis. He could have stayed with the tent forever and been very busy going from one city to another city in a tent. But he never would have had the impact that he had if he didn't come up with some other way to do better what he was presently doing. And that's the whole point I'm saying. How can we do it better than what we're presently doing? And I just think leaders are like that. I think a leader is always thinking, how can I do this better? I don't think leaders are just in the status quo. I think leaders think beyond their present state. They do what they do well in their present, but they're always thinking, how can I take this better? I'm always thinking about my sermons. I'm always trying to tweak this. I'm always trying to do something with this or change something with this. And I'm experimenting now, the 30-minute thing, okay? I'm experimenting now with going from Sunday to Wednesday rather than having two different things. I think we should always be developing ourselves, always be enhancing ourselves, always be trying to add something to it that we did not have. I think that's the mindset of a leader. Now, once we've identified our objective, secondly, we limit the number of objectives, then the next step is that we got to prioritize. We got to prioritize these objectives. Right away, without looking at your sheet, just off the cuff, what do you think that means? We got to prioritize. What does that mean? We got to prioritize. Okay. We got three or four. We got three to five. Okay, they good. But which is more important? Yes.
What do you have time to execute?
Okay, what do you have time? Okay, yes.
Which objective is the mandate from God?
Okay, all is good. And we're going to get into some discussion on that. All that's good. Okay. Good. Thank you. Now, I want you to look at this because we're going to have, and the reason I shut you down is because when you said that, I want to ask questions about it. It's not that I don't want you to discuss. I have a discussion part that we want to talk about it because we want to learn from each other. We don't want to just learn by a sheet. We want to learn from each other. So let's talk about viewing the objectives from three perspectives. Number one, we want to view our objective, we're talking about prioritization, from a customer's perspective in terms of what's most beneficial to the customer. Anybody see the importance of doing that?
Yes.
Jermaine, you had that look like, of course. Absolutely. What were you thinking? Speak up, please. Who cares about the customer, though? I mean, what difference does it make? Oh, okay, we don't have a job. Oh, we don't have a job without the customer. Okay. Now, understanding that we don't have a job without the customer gives us some incentive of connecting with people, doesn't it? Because we want people to keep coming, right? We want folks to keep tithing, right?
Amen.
Because we get our paycheck.
Amen.
From the tithes and the offerings of the people. So it's important for us to connect with them, right? because the customer do matter. So when we're setting objectives, we need to always have our customer in mind. Yes. I agree with you. I agree to 100%. I just got to put pressure on you as a CEO that it's your job. But I agree with you. I can say all I want to say about connecting with people, but if you don't care, I mean, you don't care. But it's just wisdom to me. It's just wisdom to me for me to stand up and shake these people's hand. To me, it's wisdom. I mean, they don't have to come. They don't have to come to church. They can go to other churches. It's not like we don't have competition.
Right.
You know, it's not like they don't have options. And so I think it's just, I have to mandate some things. And here again, I can't follow you around like kids, but I have to mandate it until we get into the practice of doing it. And maybe, just maybe, some of you, knowing that I'm going to be asking you who did you connect with, it may motivate you just out of not wanting to be embarrassed in front of other folk. And sometimes you have to start on them low level, down on a low level, and then you can get people up to the higher level ideal of why we do things. So I agree with you 100%. But if we set these objectives, we got to think in terms of the customer. Secondly, the employees or vision partner perspective. And I say in terms of needs and also in terms of input from employees. Anybody understand that? Does that make sense? Huh? Can I elaborate? You elaborate what you think it means.
Let me read it again.
While she's reading it. Somebody elaborate. Yes.
It starts with us, so we're the beginning. So our insight, what we say, what we feel, what we see, we should have, that's what they're saying, a perspective in terms of needs and input. So the employees, which are us, the staff, we actually are the first level. I mean, it's got to explode on us first before it hits the people. So our input, our insight,
I said two things there. You going to say something, Dan?
I was going to mention that a priority of the IT department is to reach out presently, to reach out to our to the vision partners that work in IT. So that's a priority of ours. And if we're reaching out to them, we're coming up with a strategy for them to partner in ministry and to do different things, it's going to show that they have that they're valuable, that they're important to the ministry, and it gives them purpose as far as doing ministry. So we as the staff, it matters what they see. And when they see us reaching out to them, it's going to make sense.
We could be very technical, and we can say that employees and vision partners are part of our customers too. That when we set objectives, we want to think in terms of vision partners, employees, what's beneficial to them, and not just what's beneficial for others outside of them. Does that make sense? That just that part right there? And secondly, I said, from the perspective of the needs of vision partners and employees, I'll give you illustration, classic illustration of that. We had a vision partner appreciation a few weeks ago. 1,500 vision partners we got. You know how much money we spent? Estimate, Michael? We spent maybe $100,000. So we had one event where we spent about $100,000 because you're talking about 1,500 folk, you're talking about gifts. We're talking about the $50 gas card. We're talking about the key ring. We're talking about paying for the place, people. So you're talking about $100,000, which is significant for an event. Now, it depends on how you look at that. You can say, well, we could have spent that money on something else. But from my vantage point, it was very important. Yeah. To me, it was as important as some of the other stuff that we're going to do, because we got 1,500 folk going to help us carry the vision out this year. And if we can invest $100,000 in 1,500 folk at one time, and they leave feeling appreciated, they'll take us down the road. That's a great investment. Because all I got was positive feedback from the people. Y'all really care about us. Y'all really love us. That was so wonderful. That was so great. That's 1,500 people that we invested $100,000 in. That's what I mean by an objective prioritizing vision partners, prioritizing employees, the people who are helping us take the vision to another place, then it's a great investment. Now, you can say, well, let's not spend that money on them. Let's spend that money on something else. But I just think that that was a priority. And I made it a priority. And I said that we're gonna do something significant about this particular situation, because we got them all in one place at one time. And I want them to leave feeling like, yeah, them folk really care about us. And I think it was successful. You think it was successful? That's what I'm talking about in number two. Does that make sense? Okay. Number three, budget perspective. You always have to think in terms of the available resources that you have. Now, let's open it up, because I really got to 10:45. So up until this point, before we get into I got a formula here for strategic, prioritizing strategic objectives that we're going to learn from each other. After we have our thing and learn from each other, we're going to have a break. Then we're going to do some exercises, right?
Yes, sir.
Then we're going to do some exercises. So before we get into this, any questions you like to ask, any comments you like to ask about anything that we were saying? I thought I saw your hand go up, okay?
Back on number two, I feel like that what we do on a day-to-day basis to service the employees helps them service other people.
Right. Right. And it, you can look at it too. We decided, rather than just having a select few of leaders in this thing, these are all our employees in this. Because if you grow and develop, then the ministry grows and develops. Yes, sir.
No, I was just going to say that if you look at number two, kind of what you touched base on is as a department level, a lot of times the other employees are the customers. So it ties back to number one as well.
Okay, good. Good. Yes, sir.
I was thinking about the peak performers and the customer. Some of what Jermaine was saying. Peak performers also take a hard thing and make it simple. So a lot of times, if an objective seems so difficult, that peak performer can make that simple.
Gotcha.
So you've been talking about simple, being simplifying stuff. So customers like simple stuff. They want to come to a church where it's not a lot of loops and stuff to go through.
Right,
church.
Right.
They want to come where it's easy, and that's what draws customers.
Gotcha, so. Gotcha. Yes, Joe?
I think also that peak performers have a strong sense of self-awareness.
Okay.
You know, they kind of know, you know, that's my weakness, that's not my strength.
And I agree with you. And I think we got a whole module thing on self-awareness, because you need to be aware of you. You need to be aware of your weaknesses. You need to be aware of your personality. You need to be aware of things in your personality that can undermine you. You need to be aware of your strengths, things that you're really strong at and you know you're strong at. You need to be aware of things that you're really not very good at. You can improve some of those things. Some of those things you got to delegate. Some of those things you may never be good at. So you have to get people around you who can help you in those areas rather than you trying to be everything to everybody. I hear this a lot of times about being overwhelmed and I'm busy and I'm overwhelmed. You know what I really think? I think we can always add staff. You can always keep hiring and hire more folk and hire this people. And I need more people. Now, granted, I know that that's possible. When I evaluate what we do and how we do it, and I look at your roles and stuff like that, the question that I have is not so much, should we hire somebody? The question I have is, are you leveraging volunteers? I mean, are you leveraging volunteers? We got thousands of folk coming to our church, and some of them chomping at the bit to help. I think leaders should be leveraging volunteers, finding folk who can help them. And then I think sometimes we overwhelm because we're trying to do stuff. We're trying to do too much. We don't delegate. We don't get other folk involved in it. And so we walking around overwhelmed, wondering when they're not going to give us any help. When I look at your positions, I think, who have you invited to help you? I mean, how have you tried to leverage any volunteers? I just need help. But a lot of times we don't even take advantage of people sitting right in our congregation, and we don't even ask. We don't even search. We don't even look. We don't, you know, if we don't have it, we just don't have it. So back to that being overwhelmed thing, we have to evaluate, am I legitimately overwhelmed? You're legitimately overwhelmed when you've leveraged the volunteers and done everything you can in that role, and then you cannot function. Now you're legitimately overwhelmed. But what I've seen in a lot of cases, maybe not every case, maybe not your case, I've seen people who don't leverage volunteers, and I see people who don't delegate. They don't delegate. They handle little stuff that somebody else could do. I mean, they doing a lot of stuff that somebody else could do, but they don't delegate because they the head. Anybody else before we get into the exercise? Yes, sir.
I think extremely-
you have to, now remember, you're talking to the group, so you have to lift your voice up and you have to project. I like diligence, and I like especially self-motivated. I think peak performers and just leaders in general, you don't have to tell them everything. I mean, you just don't have to tell them, y'all study now before you come to class. And, you know, y'all look over this lesson. You know, make sure you review now. Y'all make sure you review and make sure you do. See, that's not leadership, you know. It's not. I wouldn't even go to a class and I didn't look over it. I'm serious. I would not go to a class. My pastor, Dr. Fred, probably going to be in a session. He done handed me a manual and I'm going to walk in there and ain't looked at it. No way I'm going to do that. So I just can't tell y'all everything. Thank you for allowing me to get back in and say that. I appreciate it.
We just touched on the budget perspective in terms of the available resources, and if we consider it's not just money, but it's also people that are our available resources.
Yes.
Volunteers, that really brought that up.
Yeah, you have to budget other things other than just money. You budget people, you budget ideas, you budget creativity. Yes.
I think in terms of finding out who you have on the pews, it's a lot more difficult
Yes.
People, so a strategy to actually find out what skills we have, then we could actually go to those people and have one-on-ones and say, hey, I've got this project and I see you're gifted with this and you've got this experience. It would help a whole lot.
I think that's wonderful you said that, Deborah. No, I think that's wonderful you said that. I think it is a little more difficult. But I look at you. It's difficult for you too. And to be honest with you, you ain't got no list of people. We didn't give you a list of people. We didn't say, here's a list. You get folk. You get them. So tell us, how do you get them? Without a list, how do you get them? I mean, that was nice what you just said to everybody. And how do you get them?
Well, one thing, I pray. I pray for help and people that are skilled to help. And a lot of times, I'm out on Sundays and talking to people.
So you pray, and then you're out on Sundays. And what you do on Sundays? And you say, yeah, you can work with me. That's the point. That's all I'm trying to say. That if you engage folk, you'll find out that there are people who really want to help. And there's nothing wrong with saying, you can help me. There's nothing wrong with, because we have people walking around all the time saying, I just don't know, you know. You'd be absolutely amazed, Joe. There are people that go to the hospitals. They're volunteers. They'll go to the hospitals. They'll visit folks. They'll go to the nursing homes. There are people out there who want to do something. You know, they want to do something. It's just a matter of us taking the initiative. Okay, let's stop here. Let's stop here because I want to shift gears. I want us to get into a discussion. When I was putting this together, and you know, I didn't just come up with this all in my, I read and just did all kinds of things, but I was trying to fill in the gaps, okay? It's one thing to identify, it's another thing to prioritize, but how do I prioritize my objective practically? How do I do it rather than just saying, I like this one, rather than this one? How do I practice? For what I came up with and I put here is a formula. And no formula is just 100% whatever, but it's something that we could look at practically when we're trying to prioritize our objectives. And what I did, I went through this with Stephanie and Melinda, and as I went through it, I would ask them questions. What does that mean? And then they came back with an answer. And I noticed sometimes that the answer they gave me greater insight to something that I didn't see. So I decided that rather than me going down this list and say, okay, this is what this means, I'm going to do the same thing with you. Because I think we can kind of learn from each other. We can learn from each other. So there's no right or wrong answer. So here's a formula for prioritization. The approach is going to be a discussion type open forum where we can discuss. There are six questions that we're going to be asking ourselves as it relates, whether we're in a group or individual, as it relates to setting priorities. And the first question is relative to a directive from God. And that's when Deb was talking about that, and I said, I don't want to talk about that. And so she thought I was shutting her down, but I didn't want to talk about that because I wanted to come back and then talk about that. So the first question is relative to a directive from God. Is it a mandate from God? Now, remember, we're talking about priorities. Is it a mandate from God? So I got some questions. You may answer two questions at one time. Why is this directive important? Thereby shut you down. So I'm letting you back loose now. And if you hear anything that adds to that, then you come out and let me know. And remember, I'm always looking across the room. I know who's talked today. I know who hadn't talked today. Okay. So, Deborah, why is this question or part of the formula important? What is a mandate from God? Make sure we know everybody know what that is.
That's a directive that God has given to you. He said, do this.
Okay, that's some God tell us, do this. So why is this one important?
Well, first of all, because everything we are doing is for him. So he really should be directing us in what things are of importance. Because it's for him. This is his work.
Okay, that's one. This is his work. So what we are doing should be for him. Yes. Lift up your voice.
When you're following a mandate, a lot of times that's where you'll see that your help is coming. That's where the people resources will show up. That's where the monetary resources will show up. That's where the creative ideas will show up when you're in line with what he's doing.
Why is that true? I totally agree. If we discern that it is a mandate from God, she says that's where your resources are going to come from, your people are going to come from, this going to come from. Why is that so?
Well, if he told you to do it, then he's obligated, not you, to get you the help that you need. So it's not on you, it's you just following what he wants you to do.
Okay. Okay. So we've had two answers. Deborah said it should be something, what we do should be for God. Sharonita said that's where our resources are going to come from, because if he mandated, then he's obligated to make it happen. I think I saw you.
David, I just think directs, you got direction from God.
Can y'all hear him? Because he told you to do it. Okay, so there's a passion that you're going to have. Yes.
If we're doing things that God didn't tell us to do, then we're going to waste time and we're going to waste resources.
So now we end up doing stuff he didn't want us to do, so we wasting time and we've been there and done that. I thought, yes. Yes. What's your name, baby?
Oh, Karen, sorry.
Okay.
You can find
I'm doing it for everybody else. I want everybody else to know everybody, and yes. Yes, that's so true. You end up hurting people. Yes.
Angela, you also know that it's going to be a success.
It costs confidence. It creates confidence. Yes.
So, Janetta.
Yes.
You're not swayed by what people say or do or if they're not on board with you. You're not swayed by it because God is mandating you.
Good. Yes. He pays for what he orders. Yes, Cortland?
I was going to say the same thing that Mr. Angela said. Your obedience is linked to your success.
Your obedience is linked to your success.
It eliminates competition.
Okay.
Other churches.
Yes.
Because he told me to do it, it eliminates
competition. I think that's a good one. I think that's a really good one, because I think we're all so tempted to emulate what we see others doing, especially if it's successful. I mean, it's just so part of our nature to copy. And something Sanjaneta said, you said that it helps you to overcome what people think. I think it also helps you to overcome adversity too. Because usually anything that's worthwhile is going to be some challenges related to it. The thing that has helped me the most is to know that God told me to do it. You know, we had challenges with the dome, the sanctuary, but I knew God told me. We had challenges with the activity center, but I knew God had told us to do it. So when you know God has told you to do it, doesn't mean you're not going to have challenges, not mean everybody's going to just jump on board, but it helps you with the resolve to not quit. And I think we should acknowledge him in all our ways, the scripture says. But especially if you're going to invest all kinds of money. I mean, you just want to make sure that you done heard from God. I mean, you know, it's like marrying somebody. I mean, you don't want to take a chance on that. You don't want no oops moments. No, you want to at least feel like God is telling me to do it. I mean, you want to at least have that sensing that God has instructed me to do it. Anything else before we go on to the next one? Yes.
I'm Terry. I believe that it keeps us really focused. When he tells us to do something, you know, whether we got 1, 3, or 5 objectives, those objectives that he has definitely told us to do, I believe it keeps us focused. It helps us to keep our resources focused. It helps us to, you know, keep our people engaged and motivated because we can keep that vision before them because it's from God.
Yeah, and I've done things and hadn't heard God. And it didn't keep the people focused. It didn't keep the resources focused. So I say amen to you. Amen. Yes, sir.
I think it also takes us beyond our natural power.
What now?
I think it takes us beyond our natural power.
Good.
God is supernatural, so he gives us simple instructions that may not make sense to us, but that will catapult us into the supernatural.
Absolutely. That's great. Yes. Whoa, that's good. Is that original? Okay, I just want to know whether I need to be quoting you or whatever. That's good. Good ideas glorify us, but God ideas glorify him. And I think that's good. I think we all can see. We can all. So how does the answer to this question assist us in prioritizing our objectives? Yes.
We already, if it's a mandate from, I'm Karen Malone. We know if it's a mandate from God, it's a go. It's not negotiable. We're going to do it.
Okay. So, listening at the question, what you said was absolutely correct. How does the answer to this question assist us in prioritizing our goals? What you said was absolutely correct. Well, I'm looking for something else. You said it, but I want to make sure that it get out differently. Not that what you said was wrong. Yes.
Well, it helps eliminate other things that may not be the mandate from God.
That's true. That's true. Yes.
You're going to start out first focusing on God, first on whatever you do, and then before you start anything.
Yes.
We're not just going to do what we want to do.
Okay. What when Karen said, what you gonna say something different?
A little bit. Cortland, if you have a mandate, everything else that falls in line, you make sure that it fits.
Okay. What you said, the reason I'll say it, what you said was true. You said that we know it's a go. See, we know it's a go if it's a mandate from God. Well, it can be a go and still not be the highest priority. Does that make sense? See, once it's a mandate from God, that shoots it up. You say, you don't put priorities from God down on the bottom. I mean, you may, It's going to elevate that goal up. See, if God tells us he wants us to build his church, and he wants us to do this, and he wants us to do that, then that has to be something that's high on the priority. It can't be something low on the priority, and we be successful. Let's go to the next one. You can always bring out something when we finish. Yes.
I have a question. Melinda T. White. The T is important.
Okay. Yes.
And so how do you prioritize that? Maybe we'll get into it.
Let's save it. Let's save it. Let's go to number two. The second question is relative importance to the organization. In other words, how critical is it to the organization? Yes.
I think you can tell how critical it is to the organization based on the resources they invest in.
No. The answer, what you said is true. But this is a part of the formula. What we're dealing with is the formula. How can we determine the priority? You see what I'm saying?
Based on the resource, like if we're doing, I guess in my eyes, I'm thinking if we're doing budgeting or I'm trying to prioritize, I'll make sure that it has the resources that it needs instead of putting it to the bottom.
I'm saying that that's true, but this is a formula. It is a formula, yes, Mike, it's a formula for determining what is going to be priorities. Yes.
It may not be as critical to the organization to invest in that because it doesn't play into the SWOT.
I agree. I also, yes.
When I think about importance to the organization, I think about vision and the initiatives that are set from the leadership as a result of the vision that's going to be cast.
Okay. Let me give you an illustration to see how this fit with you. Are we called to develop successful churches?
Yes.
Yes or no?
Yes.
Okay. What are we doing in our church right now? I mean, what are we doing? What is the emphasis in our church? What are we doing? Okay, we're building an infrastructure. Which is more critical to us at this time?
Infrastructure.
So you look at, the question is, the relative importance of the organization. How critical is it to an organization? Something can be a priority. It may even be a mandate. Another mandate, but what's critical? Is it more critical for us to be starting a church? Or is it more critical for us to build the infrastructure in what we have right now? When Ernest came on as the director over Fine Arts, one of the things that, and I think Ernest is an outstanding leader. I think he's a really good leader. He thought infrastructure. See, you can come in a thing and think outreach. You can think do this. You can think grow this. You can think all that. But what if you don't have the infrastructure in place to maintain what you're doing? So you have to ask yourself, what is more critical to the organization at this particular time? And in most cases, for the leader, for a leader, a thinking leader, it's going to always be infrastructure. It's going to always be infrastructure. If you always thinking out here and never think about having things in place to reach out here, then you're going to end up putting the cart before the horse. And even if you get some growth out here, then you're not going to be able to sustain it. So infrastructure would always be something that you would consider to be more critical than something else. Now, does that make sense? Infrastructure, in a practical sense, when a developer builds a community, right? Let's say you're a developer, you're going to build a community. What would you do first?
Resources, money.
Oh, you get money.
Land.
Okay, you get the land. And you're going to build this whole community with houses and everything. So what would you do first?
Contractors. Locate contractors.
Get the contractors.
All the paperwork that's been done, insurance.
Okay, now once you get all that done, what you going to do to build this community?
Get somebody to do it.
Okay, but what you going to do first?
Oh, you mean the actual
community? The actual stuff.
I'm going to lay a foundation. I'm going to build a foundation.
What would you do?
Lay out your structure.
Okay, so you're going to clear off all the trees and everything. You're going to clear that, right? You're going to run water lines,
right?
Sewage, right? All cut in roads, right? All that's infrastructure.
I'm talking about us.
Okay, it's the foundation. It would, in practical terms, it's the foundation of anything. For example, when we talk about having 14,000 members, you have to have an infrastructure to maintain those 14,000 people. There has to be care systems in place. There have to be all kinds of things in place to keep up with all those folk. So it's infrastructure. In any area you're operating in, you have to have the infrastructure in place to build on it, yes.
That absolutely goes back to me, to the directive from God. If we don't have the infrastructure to do what he's told us to do, then and we say, he told us to be ministering to 14,000, and we just try to get 14,000 here, but we're not prepared to take care of them.
Well, you know the, yes.
I was going to help him with an illustration. If you don't have a plan to take care of your temple, your maintenance, your physical being, and you get sick, you can't help people. So the organization has to be healthy so that it can do the work to help
right.
people. If we're broken internally, we won't be effective in helping other people.
Well, you know, one of the things that I'm trying to do for all of us is remember leaders understand how followers think, but they what?
They don't think like.
So all these different components are leadership principles, and we have to think, because sometimes we think activity. We think the more activity we're doing, boy, the more successful we are. And a lot of times we don't think, okay, what is the infrastructure for this thing growing? If we have a finance department and we're believing for millions and millions and millions of dollars, what's the infrastructure that has to be in place for that? If we believe in for the bridge to be a worldwide thing, what's the infrastructure that has to be in place for that? If we intend to be a ministry that's community-oriented, what is the infrastructure that has to be in place for that? If we want a children's ministry that is just second to none, or student ministry that's second to none, what is the infrastructure for that? Is it just praying? See, a lot of time we just praying. You know, we just pray it, and then the Lord will work it out. Won't he? Won't the Lord work it out? Yes, he'll work it out, Lord. Work it out. And so that's the way people think. They think, okay, I'll pray about it, and God just work it out. No, we have to think, okay, if we get what we're praying for, are we prepared to manage what we're praying for? What I'm doing now is infrastructure. What I'm doing with you all right now is infrastructure. In my mind, I see this flood of people. But I know I got to have a leadership base in place to be able to manage that. When all these different opportunities open, somebody got to be over this. Somebody got to oversee this. You got to have leaders to do that. So God oftentimes waits for us to get an infrastructure in place because it's not on him, it's on us. This is infrastructure. What we're doing right now is infrastructure. We are preparing a leadership foundation so that when people are out there leading people, they're thinking, they understand how followers think, but they think like leaders. I thought, yes. We need, and I need you all to think bigger than you think. See, you got to think differently. You can't, we can't be a worldwide minister and you think in a certain, we got to expand the way we think. That's why this has to be important to you. That's why you have to study it, because all y'all don't know all this stuff. But you can, because you got the Spirit of God. You got me, you got the Holy Ghost. So you can learn this, but you got to apply yourself. So you got to think like this. You got to think like this when you're setting goals. Let's go to number three. The third question is relative satisfaction with the existing state. How satisfied are we, the organization, without it? Yes. What does that mean? Tell us what that means. Introduce yourself and tell us what that means.
My name is Blaine, and I read that as, are we making a change or implementing something for the sake of implementing it or just for the sake of change, or is it beneficial to the organization to help us move forward?
Is it beneficial to help us move forward? Are we satisfied? That's true. Are we satisfied with where we are? Now, that's a question you got to be asking yourself in your area. Are we satisfied? And if, can we do without it? Can we be successful without it? Because if we can be successful without it, we don't need to do it. Sometimes, can anybody tell me why this is important? I wrote down why I think it's important, yes. Pardon me?
This will reveal if the organization is complacent or content with where it currently is.
I think that's a great answer. I think that's a great answer. I put down here, this question balances the spiritual with the natural. Now, here's what I mean by that. When we get a mandate from God, that's spiritual. I mean, that's just spiritual. God told us to do this. But God doesn't tell us to do everything. See, it'd be great if God just said, I want you to do this, 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 this. No, he gave us minds, he gave us brains, and I don't come in every week saying, God told me. A lot of things that we do in ministry, God does not give us a specific word on it. So some of it is just natural. I have to, see, there's a place of dissatisfaction that motivates me to want to do better. I'm just dissatisfied where I am. So I got these goals to take me to another place. Then I evaluate, can I do without this? Can I be successful without this objective right here? Can I go to another level without this objective? Is this objective critical for me to go to another place? So sometimes we may say, well, we don't really need that. Is that clear to you or fuzzy to you? Okay, it was fuzzy at first, so is it fuzzy now? Well, the reason why you decided you needed to go to another level had to do with satisfaction. It's satisfaction with the status quo. Yes, Melinda.
But this is already an objective. Because this is already, you're just prioritizing.
You're prioritizing it.
So this should already be from you limiting your objective from the squat down.
Oh, okay.
So this should be,
I got
you.
Well, plus, we're going to do some exercise on it. We're going to do some exercise. And if your questions are not answered, can I hold y'all off and let me finish? Let me finish. Because we're going to do a couple of exercises. We're going to do a couple of exercises. Sometimes the exercise can also bring clarity. I also say this. If all the questions, you don't get it, some of it, you getting it, right? You can see why asking these questions. The fourth question is relative to time to implement. How long would it take to have or achieve it? Why would that be a good question? Yes. Okay, yes.
Karen, you don't want to lose momentum. You don't want the people to lose momentum. If you don't consider the time and communicate that, if people don't see something or see the wins along the way, they can lose momentum.
Okay. Did that register to you what she just said?
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
Why did it register to you? Yeah. How you can't hear?
No, I'm just saying I didn't get Karen. I didn't get that. I don't hear about it.
Say what you said.
When I thought about how long it takes to achieve it, I'm thinking in terms of I may know what the goal is. I may know what the end is. But if I don't communicate what that is and the time it takes, the people that are needed to help fulfill or to walk it out lose momentum in it because we're doing.
I'm gonna take it a little bit different. And remember, there's no right or wrong answer. Let me finish. There's no right or wrong answer. Watch this. We're talking about prioritizing. We got goals, right? We got goals. We want to know what should be one, what should be two, what should be three. Relative to time, how long it takes to do it may determine whether it's up at the top or down further. For example, Vyesha, a part of her goals in HR is appreciating VPs. You can do that over a period of time, and then you get down to the end. So if she got so much money in her budget, she can stretch it all the way out to the end. Do a little here, a little here, a little here, a little here, a little here to the end. I told her, that we need some quick wins, which means we got to make an impact on people up front because they don't know what we're doing down the road. So we want momentum. We want momentum, so we prioritize monies. We put priority on a bunch of money up front because we want momentum rather than a little bit here, a little bit here, a little bit here, a little bit here. We want to hit people with a punch up front because we want momentum. So sometimes you establish priorities based on how long it takes. And sometimes a priority that doesn't take as long may go up higher because you want to get some momentum. You want to be able to complete some and do something. Now, the growth track is going to take longer. We can plan it. We can plan it, but it's still going to take longer. So some priorities are based on what you're trying to accomplish as a leader. What are you trying to accomplish as a leader? Are you trying to make an impact? Are you trying to get some momentum done? If you're trying to get momentum, you can't have long drawn out things and everybody just gonna have the moment. Does that make sense? Does it make a little sense? Yeah. Deb, you said it was confusing. Do it make a little sense? Okay. Yes.
It appears that a lot of what you're trying to explain, the wording in these questions, gives a little bit of insight, but because there's a lot more involved even in the steps, for example, and I'm not trying to hold you.
You got to go quick because I got somewhere to go.
No, you got somewhere to go. With, for example, the satisfaction thing. The satisfaction thing could be interpreted different, and it's not. I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm just saying that by you trying to keep it concise, I think it limits.
See, the reason why it's open, it's an open forum because it's not a right or a wrong answer. This is a formula that you're going to use, and then oftentimes things you come up with can add clarity for you, clarity for me. I can see some. It's not like I got the answer. Okay, here's the answer. No, you can approach these differently. If you don't get anything out of it but this. As a leader, you want to have a system. You don't want to be winging it. I'm just going to grab this one and put this one. You want to think system. You want to think you want to have a plan. Okay, how do I prioritize things? And I may not use every one of these steps, but I want to have a system by which I look at goals and determine this should be here, this should be here, this should be here. Now, I could have just gave you prioritize, and you had no way to do that. Does that make sense? If you don't get every question, it's all right. My goal is that you think through. Yeah, have a template, play, have some way you're processing this thing. As a leader, we should be processing this thing because I think we just wing it in life. I mean, we're not thinking through, we just wing it, you know, see how it's going to turn out. And so we end up doing something, and then we say, well, we should have been doing this. I'll give you a classic illustration. The hospital. We had no business in the world doing that. It was in the wrong place. It was the wrong place, and we spent a bunch of money. It was in the wrong place. Great objective. Nothing wrong with objective. It was just in the wrong place. You see, it was just in the wrong place. So what we're trying to do is we're trying to think through on these things. Where should it be? Where should it be? I know y'all want to talk. Huh? Wrong place in terms of time. It was the wrong time to have that kind of priority. Now we doing stuff that infrastructure stuff, and we got a $10 million project out there, and we ain't got infrastructure stuff in place. So it's almost like well, I'll get to that. Okay, look at number five. I got about 3 minutes, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. The fifth question is relative to expense. Is it expensive? Now, expense can determine whether something's a priority. Now, if it's a mandate, the mandate will override it. Does that make sense? But if it's not a mandate, we got to consider the expense. It may be that we can't prioritize it because we can't afford it right now. Number six, relative to viability in terms of short, long-term usefulness. How long will the utility of it last? Does that make sense to anybody? Who don't understand that? Okay, I'll give you an illustration. Let's compare training, this and other training, to having a concert. Let's say we're gonna have somebody real huge concert.
Israel.
Who?
Israel.
We're gonna have Israel come in. And let's do it big. Yeah. Let's have three folk. Israel.
Okay. Israel, Kirk Franklin.
Kirk Franklin.
No.
Fifi one, and we got them all in, boy. I mean, we're gonna do it good. I mean, they're never gonna forget it. Nobody's gonna forget it. I mean, we're gonna overwhelm them, Jack. They're never gonna forget this. In terms of utility, how useful it is over a period of time, the value that it adds to us over a period of time. Which would be the priority, training or the concert?
Training.
Okay. Because the concert can bring value, but when you compare it to something else, it falls down. It's not that you don't do concert, it just falls down. Does that make sense?
That's the difference between determining whether you're going to work on infrastructure of a house or you're going to put something pretty and hang it on outside your house.
Whether you're going to work on the inside,
foundation,
or whether you
hang a pretty picture,
put your fountain out front. hey, you got this huge fountain out front, but you ain't got nothing.
No foundation
to your house. The bridge over the long haul can bring us a lot of value over a period of time. Training brings value that is hard to calculate. The value that it brings over a period of time, that's why training has high utility value. Does that make sense? Okay. That's that part of it. You want to tell them? We're going to do some practical activities around this. Y'all getting anything out of this?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Please come back in 15 minutes.